God is practical. When people see when people go, nobody. Find it if you don't believe me. God is practical. When people see when people go religious and they believe something, they're right in their mind. You can't tell them they're not right. But they see when they impose these old 1800 dogmas on people, like women shouldn't wear pants, and you know that came out of culture, not the Word of God. Now they took it from Deuteronomy 22:5, but they took it out of context. When I first got married, that didn't sit well with my wife in those days. So she didn't believe it. She read it, but it didn't make sense to her. Why I don't see why I have to wear a dress all the time. It's not practical. Well, I went to the Lord. I said I didn't want to argue with her about it. I went along with the church at first. I thought they knew what they were talking about. I said, Lord, why did you put this scripture in the Bible? He said that was there for the homosexuals. That's not the motive of today's people. Women wear pants because you can ride a bicycle. You don't have to worry about your dress flying up. And they began to wear them when they had to go in World War II and work in the factories. And that was culture shock to people of that day. And they thought it was blasphemy against God for a woman to wear pants. Well, guess what? In Scotland, they wear dresses. They just call them kilts. In America, they got pants for men and women. And they button different. You know, a man's shirt and a woman's shirt, it buttons different. The buttons, you know, overlap differently. I didn't know that till I was watching a man, and Matlock caught the guy because he had on a woman. He was a man. He was dressed like a woman, but he had on the coat was wrong. It was I think he was pretending to be a woman, but his coat was like a man's coat, and he caught it because the buttons don't overlap the same way as a woman's would. I didn't know this, but he knew, you know. But anyway, they made clothes for different. This is the problem that it caused. As crazy as all this sounds, I know it's crazy, but I grew up in school, and the children would make fun of the holiness girls because they had to wear them long dresses. And now sometimes girls will wear dresses, sometimes they wear pants, but they never wore them, and then they talk about them. They didn't have on earrings or makeup, and it would make them feel sad because they wanted to just be a child, and they didn't understand why these rules. But then they were taught this stuff in the name of God. So now, if I put on pants, I'm making God mad. And that's how it was presented. And there's nobody to tell them that their people told them wrong. So when you grow up in this culture, it's not going to work. And then they're saying it in God's name. Well, that is, you know, just imagine for a moment the problems it'll cause. Your son is a strong athlete. He can't wait to play football. And then you get saved, go to church, and they say, well, we don't believe in sports because God don't like sports. You know, that ain't. Now, it took years for people to rethink this. A lot of lives were shattered because of this. He didn't go on and be an athlete and be a Christian sportsman that would have been able to talk. See, when you become an athlete and you're a Christian, you're going to get to go speak at schools. There's a lot of things that child was restricted from doing. He had to go work in some factory or be something that he was not as good at. He never got to fulfill his dream because of some church rule. This is the kind of stuff I saw and knew about. But you can't tell people that in those days that this is crazy. They will call me a false prophet. But guess what? I never heard anything like that coming from the Holy Spirit. And I began to realize it. And I began to take note of it over the years. See, I didn't just walk out of it because I knew some things didn't sit well. But Elder Lewis was a wise pastor. He knew some of that stuff was just foolishness. And he didn't... That's how I learned about how other holiness church did. I knew a guy in high school. He was an acrobat. He could do all kind of flips and land on his feet. And he should have been in the Olympics, but he didn't believe in sports. Now, if people would focus on what the Holy Spirit came to do, and live with wisdom, they'll really be pure. See, that holiness stuff, they gave holiness a bad reputation. Not only because of the rules and regulations, then they shout all the time, and they were in church all the time, and a lot of times they didn't get an education. So they had to work jobs that they could find. And I remember Elder Lewis said, there's a Methodist hospital, there's a Baptist hospital, but there's no holiness hospital. And then he said this, and we got the truth. Well, guess what? There's a lot of things that can't happen if you're not getting educated. So that was a problem because of the methods that they used and the restrictions they had. They made people think that they were off. They made people think that they were superstitious. But then miracles would happen from time to time. So people will come to the Holiness Church and get healed, then they go back. See, the Baptist and Methodist churches, they were practical in their delivery. And they limited God to being like they were, practical. And there was no excitement. And anything can look good from a certain perspective, but God is who he is. God had to raise up people outside the church and train them right without the interference of cold religion. And they became more effective. Old Roberts came in. He got sick. He went to a tent revival and he started preaching. He learned the word more accurately. So did Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. If you learn all these traditions, it's very difficult in your lifetime to get rid of it. Unless God raise up somebody to talk about. Now, I came through the church. And I found out that these things, this is wrong, and that's wrong. It wasn't lining up with the Holy Spirit. So what makes the biggest difference? That's relationship. Letting Jesus be your head. And the Holy Spirit came to guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit connect you to Jesus just like Jesus connect us to the Father. If Jesus is the head, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, connects us to his thoughts. And everything you do should be governed by Jesus. And people don't trust him that way. They trust what he said and how they interpret what he said. That's what they're trusting. They're entrusting the interpretations of what they believe Jesus said. So the enemy is slick. He's an oily politician. He's slick. He's slick as slick 50. So he get doctrine started. He study us and watch how we think and what we'll go for. And it looks good on paper. So the people who started these doctrines, it looked good to them. They didn't see nothing wrong with it. They agreed with it. But they couldn't tell how the damage it was going to do. Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. So anytime you're not building with him, he gave me thoughts like this a long time ago. But I couldn't just go out and teach it because it wasn't time yet. At the right time, then the Lord released me to teach these things. If I had taught like this in the 80s, I'd have been an outcast everywhere. But in the 80s, I was learning. And I dealt with it as God gave it to me. Sometimes I knew was wrong. But once I understood it to be wrong, I didn't do it. Like I said, when my wife in those days she didn't believe in pants. I mean, in that pants rule. And the earrings and all that stuff. When the Lord taught me, I didn't have a problem with it. I said, well, wear them. And she never had any more conflict from me. And the church went to the skating rink and she wore pants. And you could hear a pin drop. But I didn't care. I was free from that. And that was just something that they had to deal with themselves. Now, when you know the light, walk in it. Jesus said, don't hide the light. That was a situation where I didn't hide the light. We were not at church. We were at the skating rink. And at home, she wore pants. At the skating, wherever she went, she wore them. Now, we obeyed the rules of the house. She just wore dresses to church as long as we went there. But then in the 90s, you had churches, holiness churches, and women wore pants to church. And they received the Holy Spirit. I remember Kenneth Hagin said a lady came in. She received the Holy Spirit that morning. She went back that evening. And another sister said, if you take those pants off and start wearing dresses, you'll get the Holy Ghost. She didn't know the lady got the Holy Ghost that morning. See, these dogmas that people have in their mind. Now, what do you do about it? Well, forgive them. They don't see it, and they probably won't. If people are really into that stuff, they're not going to see it. And I understand that they're not going to see it. And I love them anyway, and God loves them anyway. I don't argue about it. I just know that they're not, either they're going to receive it, but I'm going to live the light. Sometimes you just have to have courage. You have to stand up to things. You don't just go along with everything that people are going along with. Now, if I come to your house and you don't want people wearing shoes, I'll take my shoes off. That's the rule of your house. If I go to church and they do a certain thing, you know, that happened when I went to a holiness church when me and my wife got my first marriage ended. We got divorced, but I got married again. And we eventually, the Lord sent me to a church I was working with. And I went through their new member class, you know. And they talked about the dress code. And she said, well, if you have a problem with it, just make an appointment and talk to the pastor about it. So I did. I said, well, I don't agree with the dress code. And I told him why. I said, but if I preach, I just won't mention it. And when we went to that church, my wife had to wear dresses. My mother broke it down this way. She said, well, that's the rule of the house. You respect the rule of the house. But I wasn't going to tell him, act like we agree with it when we don't. I told him, toe-to-toe like a man, I don't agree with it. She wears pants. Pants are good. You know, it's not. And he appreciated my honesty. That's what he said. And I did preach there after that. So, you know, you're going to have to. The balance of life. God is practical. In all that he does. In all that he does. And if that becomes lost again, we're gonna have a real hard time winning souls. Holiness people had a hard time winning souls. Because most of those people were not going to go along with all those rules they had. But they had a message. They did have the Holy Spirit. And the reason I went was because I met Mom Powell. And Mom Powell probably believed in wearing dresses all the time. Because that was the culture of the day. And the older ones, they were steeped into it. But that doesn't, God works with people. You have to understand, everybody's not like Peter, Paul, and James, and John. Everybody's not like them. They were taught correct in the first place. But when you're taught garbage in the first place, you have to muddle through it. But the Lord is practical. If you have any ailment, you can claim healing. You don't even have to ask for it. Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You was healed from the time Jesus, before you was born. And you were saved all the time you spent in the world. All you had to do was claim salvation. If you want to be healed, claim healing. In faith, without doubt. But people learn to doubt. People learn to be in unbelief. They learn. If you learn wrong, it's hard to come. It's hard to go forward. You have to. But this is the other thing. I've seen a lot of people do this, and in those days, most people did this. If they had a problem such as cancer or diabetes or something, and they had to get it out of their life or die, and they believe wrong, they would pray and fast. And they would. I mean, I'm talking about some serious supplications. They would pray and pray and praise God and praise God and boom, they heal. This was common in the Holiness Church. But now I'm watching the Word of Faith ministers. They teach it right. They teach it accurate. They're a whole lot more accurate than the Holiness Church. And they're both Pentecostal, of course they are. But they teach that this is yours. You can have it. There's no God might heal. God's gonna heal you. And then I've seen more healings in the Word of Faith Church, and I go to one now. But the Holiness Church, they did it different. They would pray. Sometimes the pastor would have to leave them in the church and give them the key to it. I'm serious. And they would pray, and they come out of there healed, or they go back and pray the next day, and before the week over, they heal. Or whoever they was praying for. And God loves his people. Again, what do you do with all this? Forgive them. But be like Jesus. God is practical in all of his way. In everything Jesus did, it was he was looking for people that would believe him. And all those times he healed people, he did it openly, publicly, to inspire people. Now, wicked people got mad. Now, I talk about a lot of times, like the Laodicean church and the Sardis church, how they died. Sometimes people can choose the world and apostatize. They can go back to the world system. They can go back to that garbage. Why would they do that? Because they love the world more than they love the love of God. They didn't love the truth. They loved the world. The love of the world would change you, just like Jesus changed you and from out of the world into the kingdom of light. Well, if you love darkness, you can go back to it. But you don't have to. You have the ability not to. And that ability came from the new birth because God is practical. And remember, he don't save you against your will. And we can't ask God to save others against their will. We pray for people's salvation. But if you really want them saved, get the gospel to them. Tell Satan he can't interfere. You can do that for people. Ask God to open their eyes. You can do that. And then if the Lord wake you up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody, by all means, get the job done. Pray till you break through. Pray till you have that note of praise. What are you breaking through? You're not breaking through. It's not like you're trying to convince God. God gave you what to do. He's trying to help you. He got to work with your authority. He's already in covenant agreement. When I say breakthrough, you're not trying to get God in agreement with what you're doing. You are agreeing with God yourself, and you're not letting satanic doubt stop you. You're breaking through doubt and unbelief and spiritual war. When you do spiritual war, the devils try to stop it, hold your blessings back, but they can only do that if they can get you in doubt and unbelief. That's where you have to win your wars. You have to refuse doubt. You have to refuse unbelief and fear that transported to you. You have to refuse those things. And a lot of times holiness people didn't know all that. They just prayed and they cried out and they cried out to, and they wouldn't give up. That's why they broke through. They would not give up. They were holding on the promise. Elder Lewis told me that a Baptist lady prayed her son off an airplane. He was going to Vietnam. And she just wouldn't have it. She prayed and prayed and prayed. This Baptist woman would not, and they brought him back. The military brought that man back, and he went back home to his mama and didn't go and get killed in Vietnam because it was happening too much. And she wouldn't let it go. Jesus said, "What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." That's the most impressive prayer. That's possibly one of the most impressive prayers I ever heard. Military don't let people out. They took him back home. I don't know how the details of it, but it happened. And he knew the lady that did it. So, you know, denominational churches, they have miracles too. You can't preach the word of God and not have signs and wonders. There are some honest preachers that they were taught wrong. That's why they don't believe in the spiritual things. But it happens anyway. The Holy Spirit is in them too. See, the Holy Spirit, I used to wonder they have the Holy Spirit experiences, but they don't believe in speaking in tongues. This puzzled me for a long time until I did a broadcast with my pastor. He said Jesus, when he first appeared to his disciples, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, they did. That's the Holy Spirit within. And then at the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit upon them, just like the prophets of old. See, John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit upon him. When Jesus breathed on them, see, Jesus had already died. Now they could have the Holy Spirit in them. And the Bible also teaches that, and upon you. See, they're not without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit upon us is for works. The Holy Spirit within us is to guide us. And so sometimes my dad would preach like a Pentecostal. And he'd be all over that pulpit. And one time I was in the choir at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Utah. I'm going to take my son there tomorrow just to show him the church building and where Daddy used to pastor at. But anyway, We was at St. Paul, and I was singing in the choir. Dad was having a summer revival that day, that week. And one of the guys, I knew him, he was in the choir singing the Soldier of the Lord. And he got happy and went to shout. And I looked around and said, what's wrong with him? I never seen nothing like that at that time. I was about 9 or 10 years old. I said, what's wrong with him? And he, man, they went to fanning him. They have it too. The holiness churches have it more. See, if you can't hold God back to being looking dignified all the time. And they try. They try to do this, but God is practical. See, if you spend time around the angels in heaven, the holiness people wouldn't look so ridiculous. We're looking at this. We're judging things by what we see. There's a lot of atheists in our culture. They don't believe in God. They don't expect God. They don't welcome God because they were taught wrong and they were taught bad science and religious. They were taught a certain way. They look at religious people as being superstitious or whatever. And they think they're right. But the power of God is overwhelming. When you walk into his life, when the Holy Spirit manifests, you're standing at life, the life of God, and the life of God is dunamis power. So when flesh gets next to his dunamis power, somebody's going down. I used to praise God and worship him, and I wanted to ask him questions, and time I get in his presence, I'm on the floor. I can't even remember what I was going to ask. Until I fill my heart with the word. And that's why I encourage people that still go in God's presence. Sometimes people stop going, even word of faith preachers, sometimes stop going in God's presence. They used to. They don't like they used to. They can if they want to. They don't spend time just worship God and go in his presence as much as they used to. They can. Anybody can. Anybody that'll bother to pray and worship God. And we let ourselves be so busy. But when you spend time with him, I take a day off every week on Saturday and I spend time with the Lord. On my day off, if I get enough rest, I read a lot. And I take time and I pray and I ask God my questions. And he talked to me, man to man. God is a person. He's practical. And when I started dialoguing with him, I asked him, he cleared up a lot of things that I started noticing. At first, I started noticing, well, God never gave me a message like that. And I just watched. I didn't know how to change it anyway because people are very dogmatic. And the Lord worked with me, and he worked with me. And then when I started reading those chapters every day, 15 chapters a day, after about 3 months, the Lord started talking to me and answering questions. I would ask him a question. He'd answer me immediately. And I lived like that for years, ever since. And so I'd ask him questions and he'd teach me. Well, sometime a teaching would come. I didn't know to ask for. Now, when that happens, I put my questions aside and I absorb what God is giving. Because I minister a lot. But when he give me a time of rest, when he's not giving me those assignments and messages, then I ask questions. And I went through a period where I wasn't asking questions. And the Lord, I'm on my way to pick the kids up. It was my weekend to get them when they were younger. It was 2005. It may have been 2004. I remember 2005 because my boss retired that year. And I went to his doctor, so it was before he retired, and that was 2005. So it was the winter of 05. I'm going to pick the children up, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you don't ask questions like you used to. And I said, I thought about it. I said, I got one, Lord. I said, the common cold. The doctors don't know why men get the common cold. Why do men get the common cold? I asked him a hard question. That was hard to me. But at the time I asked him that, he spoke to me, and he said, the human body is not designed to go from cold to hot or hot to cold rapidly. And I understood in Adam's day, it was an even temperature. It wasn't four seasons. You know, you don't walk out of a warm house into the cold air. And he said, that's why they get the cotton and the doctors can't figure it out. They're transferring temperature too rapidly. And you know what I did? I used wisdom. I started wearing an A-shirt, what they call a wife beater T-shirt. I started wearing an A-shirt under my T-shirt. And then I put my button-down shirt, my uniform shirt on top. So I had three shirts on. Once the weather broke and it got cold, that's what I would wear. And I would wear it until the weather broke in the spring. And I never got sick. Like I used to get so sick every around January. I'd be so sick, I'd have to take off about a week or so. And I would have a sore throat, body aches, all that stopped when I wore the A-shirts with the T-shirts. God is practical. He'll show you wisdom. There's so many things that He want to answer to us. He want us to understand. And I want you to know, you know, relationship will get you out of the dogmas. So if you pay attention to the Lord, He'll bring you up out of these things. You can't take yourself out of it, but because it won't make sense to you. And I don't blame the men of God that didn't follow God according to His specifications. He loved them. I loved them. But they couldn't come. They were convinced. And the Lord once said to me, He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. So God used them as much as He could, but He could have done so much more. Now, they'll still be rewarded in heaven. You can't blame a man for what he don't know. And God don't either. I'm the one that was upset because I longed for them to walk in God's perfect will. So God raised up a new generation. People have been hurt by these circumstances and they can identify now. So the wisdom of God released me to say these things. So today's broadcast is practical application. In your relationship with the Lord, have one in the first place and relate to Him. Don't just go by what you've been told. Be like the Bereans and search it out. You don't, those things rob you. You want to get, if you live without interference, it's so much better. It's like watching a good movie without the snow on the TV. Well, you can walk in healing without, well, just like you would watch a movie without snow on the TV. You can get healed without interference. You can live without doubt and unbelief. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.